more of Lake Effect Now, I'm Mitch Teich. The writer Bruce J. Friedman was known to many in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s for novels such as Stern, stage plays such as Scuba Duba, and screenplays such as Stir Crazy, Splash, and The Lonely Guy. But to then-aspiring writer Kip Friedman, he was also known as Dad. Friedman's new memoir, Barracuda in the Attic, recalls the distinctive experiences of growing up with a literary lion as a parent. Friedman reads from his book Thursday night at Boswell Book Company, but he joins us in the studio first. Welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
You are not the first Friedman to recall your childhood and this time of your life through a book. So where does your memoir fit in telling the history of your family?
Well, that's a good question. Apparently, the Friedmans have created a cottage industry of family memoirs. My father is a writer and recently had a book called Lucky Bruce about his literary memoir, his life as a writer. My oldest brother, Josh, a few years ago had a book called Black Cracker about his childhood, which was creative nonfiction, which is his own genre.
Right.
I decided to write a book about my childhood, a memoir, accurately bringing back to life some of the highlights, some of the exciting things that happened in my childhood. And for my own purpose, because I had a wonderful, magical childhood, and I wanted to put it back together again. You know, I wanted to have a record for it.
Well, why now? Why was this the right time to do this?
Well, I had time on my hands. I had been working full-time throughout my 30s and into my 40s. And I actually quit my full-time job to become a full-time photographer and part-time publicist. And during that period, I found myself at my computer one winter morning thinking, if I never write this story, I mean, if I don't have as much time as I do now, I'll never get it written. The story was about a time in my life after my parents divorced in the mid-1970s. I moved in with my father into his duplex apartment in Midtown Manhattan, and we were like two bachelors living together again. He was recently divorced. I was about 16, about a year and a half away from going off to college. So I wanted to recall that magical time in my life. We really had a lot of fun, went on some adventures. I got to see what his life was like as a writer, meeting with people, going on some of his business trips.
Well, and let me jump in. I mean, there's not exactly a story arc to the book, but there are themes you come back to with frequency, and one of them is your parents' on-again, off-again marriage, which in a way really seems to have given you some insight into your dad that you might not otherwise have had.
The story of my parents' on-again, off-again relationship, their several separations and eventual divorce was sort of a backdrop in my childhood. My brothers and I were each affected somewhat. I'm not painting a bad picture. My parents gave us a magical, wonderful childhood and put their emphasis on us. They were, if anything, indulgent, allowed us to be very creative. All of us wound up, big surprise, being artists. And so we felt that their dissolution of the marriage was separate somehow from our own childhood, and they made that so. Nevertheless, while I was enjoying my childhood, there was evidence in the background that this was a theme. So that shows up in a lot of my stories. But it's really a series of stories about different aspects of my childhood that were meaningful to me. I talk about my memories of my grandparents, who I bring back to life because I knew them and yet I didn't really know them. So I tried to make sense, literally, out of who they were and what they meant to me. I talk about my relationship with my brothers. Again, they were artists. They're older. My middle brother, Drew, is a famous illustrator, cartoonist. My oldest brother, Josh, is a wonderful musician and writer. He's been published. And I was the youngest brother, so I was kind of swept along following them, whether we were going to pursue the scariest horror movies on 42nd Street and Broadway or to comic book conventions at hotels and convention centers around Manhattan, or even to go to this rustic a comic book store we called the Back Issue Store, where just for fun we would be let loose into this warehouse of a store in the middle of Manhattan and find old obscure comic books from the 1940s and 50s, magazines, Mad magazines, the original ones. And my father somehow found out about this place and allowed us to just go there. Most parents would have taken their kids to a movie. My dad was a little more creative.
And you turned into kind of regulars there. I think you're right that the guy that ran the shop was a little skeptical at first, but then kind of got used to seeing you there.
Yeah, not many children went to this back issue store where literally backlogs of magazines were brought to. So to have these three kids running in like bulls into a china shop was a little unique for them. However, because we go there every few weeks or so, they got used to us and we became regular customers. My memories of that warehouse, the mildew, the creaky stairs, the plastic smells, the rows and rows of magazines piling up to the sky. It was really quite a magical place to go to, and we got about a half an hour or so to buy whatever we wanted within a budget and then get out of there.
New York obviously figures really heavily in this book. Do you feel like you're not just capturing your own history, but maybe providing a snapshot of New York in a certain time in its history?
We were fortunate to be raised in the New York City area in the 1960s and early 1970s. It didn't feel like a big city to us because we just were immersed in New York. There was something almost provincial about it. It still is today, I think, a series of neighborhoods. But by going to different parts of Manhattan, my father's from the Bronx, my mother's from Brooklyn, we felt very familiar and comfortable in a city of 9 million people that apparently never sleeps. After moving away to go to University of Wisconsin-Madison in the late 1970s is when I realized that it was quite a big city. I didn't really experience such a magnitude of a city till after I left it. So I come back to New York City as a tourist. But in the 1970s, it seemed small. It seemed very familiar, personal. You ran into people in neighborhoods. My father's orbit consisted of writers, of actors, producers, directors, playwrights, you name it. And you'd see a lot of these people just walking down the streets. I must have sat next to Woody Allen about three or four times at my dad's writing salon restaurant called The Lanes. It just seemed natural and real. You'd see Tom Wolfe walking down Fifth Avenue with his white outfit with a little carnation or whatever he wore, and you just say hi. I mean, it just seems small to me.
You mentioned your father's writing salon / restaurant. Where does food fit in with the story of your childhood?
Well, food is family. I'm a product of a Jewish family, so Eastern European Jewish family. So food was always there wherever we went, and if you weren't stuffed to the gills, you didn't have a meal. So that went without saying. All the traditional Jewish foods, matzo ball soup, blintzes, you name it. But being in New York City, we were able to experience foods from all over the world. And my father, being a foodie, really enjoyed discovering new types of cuisines. Indian food didn't really become popular until much later, but in the 1970s, it was very unique in New York City. Szechuan food, spicy new flavors that, people weren't used to. Cutting-edge foods, Korean food. We just found food was part of the cultural landscape. It was something you enjoyed, like going to the theater to see an opening night of a play or to see a great movie. It's to go to the Madison Square Garden and watch the New York Knicks play in the championship. It was part of everyday life in New York City.
And I think you write that to this day, your father still thinks of you as a soup person just from that period in your life.
Well, my father, being a writer, embellishes, alters, finds meaning, and makes everything seem special and unique. So growing up, he, of course, picked up on the fact that I love soup. and he would call me a famous soup man. And that went to my head. So I grew up thinking, there must be people that know of me. I'm a famous soup man. And only in retrospect, much years later, did I realize that was his way of just making me feel special and making foods more special than perhaps they really were. He has this habit of, when he sees a restaurant proclaiming to have world-famous waffles on its signage, he'll say, really? I wonder if they're famous in Uganda. You know, and I still do that, and I do that with my son. Still, food has played a major role in our family.
And I gather you passed along your love for hot and sour soup to your son.
I have passed along my love of hot and sour soup to my son. My grandmother introduced it to me at a restaurant called Ruby Foo's in Midtown Manhattan in the mid-1960s. And I was proud to see that my son wrote a seventh grade essay where he wrote, I consider myself a gourmand of sorts, and I enjoy a nice bowl of hot and sour soup now and then.
What's been the most rewarding part of getting these stories on paper?
The most rewarding part of getting these stories on paper, first of all, was to tell my father in a way that he could really relate, the written word, how special this period was for me living with him in the mid-1970s. I was sort of at a loss to where I fit. My mother had a new boyfriend. My oldest brother was moving into his own apartment. My middle brother, who had been at Boston University, was moving back in. And I wondered one day where I fit. And I didn't really see a room for myself in my mother's apartment. So my brother, Drew, my middle brother, said, why don't you move in with Dad? And my father happily let me move in. And that was the story for the next year and a half.
Well, I gather he approves of the way you told it, given that he has contributed the foreword to this.
My father has been very supportive, as have all of my family members. No one has said, you can't write about that. Everyone's been very pleased. I think I've been honest and yet gracious. It's a memoir, so I'm writing my perspective on my childhood, and I have a pretty sunny view on what happened. And I think as a trained reporter, I was a newspaper reporter my early part of my career, I was able to bring those objective reporting skills to train on my own childhood. So I felt honest. My father loves the stories. He loves the fact that I brought it back to life. He has written me a number of times saying that it's so much fun we had back in those days, and I'm so glad you were able to tell it.
Well, Kip Friedman, thank you so much for sharing this with us, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Kip Friedman's memoir is called Barracuda in the Attic, published by Fantagraphics Books. He'll talk about the book in an onstage interview at Boswell Book Company on Thursday. It will sound a lot like this one because I will be asking the questions again. You'll find a link to more from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break and then a preview of Digital Billboard Art Month, which starts today. This is Lake Effect on WUWM.